ringing of a bell is a traditional call to prayer. So we allow now the sound of this bell to call us to prayer, leading us into these 20 minutes of stillness and silence, a time in which we become more aware of our deepest desire, which is to hear Jesus speaking directly to us in a way that is personal, intimate. And so in this time of Lectio Divina, this divine reading, this sacred listening, we come with heightened expectation to hear the voice of Jesus for us through this gospel reading. The gospel passage that we are given each day is an opportunity to hear Jesus. We begin by setting aside these moments for prayer, taking a moment to be comfortable. Become aware now of your breathing. Don't try to change it, just be aware. And then maybe a couple of yawns might be a good way to begin filling your lungs with oxygen, helping you to relax. And now, gradually allow your breathing to deepen. As you breathe out all anxiety, all worry, all tension. And on the in-breaths, breathe in all the good things that Jesus is wanting to give you in these moments. Don't try at all to empty your mind. As Christians, we don't have to go anywhere else to meet Jesus. He comes to us in whatever we are experiencing in these hours, in these days, whatever feeling that we have, whatever burden we are carrying. Simply allow whatever is on your mind, whatever rests on your heart, to be there. While these thoughts, these feelings might be a problem for us, they're no problem at all for Jesus. No problem at all for Jesus, who is God with us. Our thoughts, our feelings, our reality is no obstacle to Jesus, who is wanting to work miracles of hope and health and healing in you in these moments. Become aware now of the people for whom you wish to pray, those for whom you are concerned. Be aware of those whose presence in your life is encouraging you and giving you hope, but also be aware of those people that you're finding more difficult. Again, be aware that the circumstances that are a part of your life today are no obstacle for Jesus. The things you are enjoying and the circumstances that are more difficult for you, all of this we allow to be in our minds and on our hearts as we prepare to listen for Jesus speaking to us. Allow your desire to hear Jesus grow. Allow your expectation to expand. Be aware of your need and return to this whenever you hear the bell, becoming more aware again of your desire. The Gospel reading for this Sunday, the third Sunday of Lent, is the well-known account of Jesus meeting the woman at the well. It's a little longer than usual, we'll listen to it only once. Invite Jesus to speak to you in a new way through this reading. Jesus came to the Samaritan town called Sychar, near the land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well is there. And Jesus, tired by the journey, sat straight down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "What? You are a Jew, and you ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink?" Jews, in fact, do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus replied, "If you only knew what God is offering, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have been the one to ask, and he would have given you living water." "You have no bucket, sir," she answered, "and the well is deep. How could you get this living water? Are you a greater man than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, with his sons and his cattle?" Jesus replied, "Whoever drinks this water will get thirsty again, but anyone who drinks the water that I shall give will never be thirsty again. The water that I shall give will turn into a spring inside them, welling up to eternal life." "Sir," said the woman, "give me some of that water, so that I may never get thirsty and never have to come here again to draw water." "Go and call your husband," said Jesus to her, "and then come back here." The woman answered, "I have no husband." He said to her, "You are right to say, 'I have no husband,' for although you have had five, the one you have now is not your husband. You spoke the truth there." "I see you are a prophet, sir," said the woman. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, while you say that Jerusalem is the place where one ought worship." Jesus said, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation comes from the Jews. But the hour will come, in fact it is here already, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. That is the kind of worshipper the Father wants. God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah, that is, Christ, is coming, and when he comes he will tell us everything." "I, who am speaking to you," said Jesus, "I am he." At that point his disciples returned and were surprised to find him speaking to a woman, though none of them asked, "What do you want from her?" or, "Why are you talking to her?" The woman put down her water jar and hurried back to the town to tell people, "Come and see a man who has told me everything I ever did. I wonder if he is the Christ." This brought the people out of the town, and they started walking towards him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, do have something to eat." But he said, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples asked one another, "Has someone been bringing him food?" But Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me, and to complete his work. Have you not got a saying, 4 months and then the harvest? Well, I tell you, look around you, look at the fields. Already they are white, ready for harvest. Already the reaper is being paid their wages. Already they are bringing in the grain for eternal life. And thus sower and reaper rejoice together. For here the proverb holds good, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap a harvest you had not worked for. Others worked for it, and you have come into the rewards of their trouble." Many Samaritans of that town had believed in him on the strength of the woman's testimony, when she said, "He told me all I had ever done." So when the Samaritans came up to him, they begged him to stay with them. He stayed for 2 days, and when he spoke to them, many more came to believe. And they said to the woman, "Now we no longer believe because of what you told us. We have heard him ourselves, and we know that he really is the Savior of the world." Now that we have listened to this reading with renewed and open ears, speak to Jesus about what you have heard in this passage. We've heard the reading. We've meditated and pondered the words of Jesus. We have spoken to Jesus about what we have heard and about the reality of our own lives. Now we come to the next phase of our prayer, the contemplation. It's often easy for us to talk about what we speak to Jesus about, if we are expressing this to others. But contemplation can seem like a waste of time, because it's hard to put into words what's happening or not happening. The contemplation is a beautiful gift, because we are simply giving Jesus the gift of our time, without an agenda, without trying to understand, not trying to make sense of the reading, just giving of ourselves. In the same way that we might give of our time relaxing together with the one we love, simply a gesture of love. And so we give the responsibility for the usefulness, the productivity of this time completely to Jesus, knowing that we may not know what he says or does. Become aware of what sense you have of Jesus with you, listening to you, speaking to you. This prayer of contemplation is not our work, it is the work of Jesus. We simply gift the time, staying with our desire to hear his voice. This final phase of our Lectio Divina prayer is often known as the action stage. After our listening, our meditation, our contemplation, we might think, now what can I do? But perhaps it's better, again, to remain in stillness and silence, asking Jesus directly, Jesus, what are you inviting me to do? How are you calling me to change the way I think? How are you calling me to change my behavior as a result of this time of prayer? As this time of prayer draws to a close, let's not worry too much about what has happened or not happened in this time. The simple fact is that we gave this time as a gift to Jesus. Often when we think that nothing has happened, they are the very times when at a deeper level, much deeper than our consciousness, Jesus has been working in us and through us. And so we conclude this time with confident prayer. All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.